A warm welcome to the Food and Drink Show. My goodness, can you believe it's actually close to Christmas and we're wearing t-shirts? I can't believe it. Well, the science and the sensory perception of eating chocolate. I'm currently running in London at the British Museum of Food, a pop-up museum close to Borough Market by London Bridge, which is just such a fantastic location. Bombas and Parr have created a variety of installations relating to all things food. And if you're familiar with these wonderful bunch of scientific food visionaries, they are wonderful and they've put together an amazing exhibition. Now, one titled Chopophonica is sponsored by Brighton-based brand agency Space Doctors. The whole idea is that we taste is influenced by where we are, the time, the memories and associations that are being triggered for our senses while we eat. Professor Charles Spence, an experiential psychologist based at the University of Oxford, and his cross-model research group explore a variety of sensory modalities and a great many around food. Do we just smell what we see, or do we smell and taste what we see? No surprise to any of us that the interaction between odour, vision and taste is a constant in our daily lives. But of course, some of our daily food is more memorable and enjoyable than others. Heston Blumenthal has introduced us to a great many visual spectacular table-to-mouth experiences. And if you were a fan, then terminology such as molecular gastronomy will be familiar to you. Another way of putting it is modernist cuisine. We will only scratch the surface of the science of taste today on the Food and Drink Show here on Radio Reverb, and our main focus will be on chocolate. We are carrying out our very own psychological test here at Radio Reverb, and if you have some chocolate to hand, why not eat it whilst in the company of the Food and Drink Show and be a little more mindful whilst eating it as to how the experience and texture alters depending on the music and the voices that you hear. So no mindless wolfing the whole box down without even a breath. Okay, we want you to join in, so go and grab a bar of chocolate. Sarah McClelland, who will join me here on the show, has run her own taste test, and we will hear all about that. We have some studio guests who will take part in some tasty experiments, and we have an ex-BBC MasterChef contestant with us. He's a chef and he will be helping us to prepare for the festive entertaining. So the studio is full of people joining me, Karen Morton here on Radio Reverb on the Food and Drink Show. The smells are glorious, the colours are great. We have a festive table laid for kings and queens. And if you go onto Twitter or Facebook, you will see some photographs. We will be tweeting throughout the show and we would dearly love you to join in and share your own taste experiments. Now, the first track on the show is one you are unlikely to have heard, and I actually think this is a debut on live radio. New release from Red Sky July, husband and wife duo Ali McClellan, guitarist in the 15 million selling band Texas, and Shelley Poole, previously one half of million selling duo Alicia's Attic, along with former model Charity Hare, also known for the Alice Band and latterly the Alarons, with Blur's Dave Rowntree. Well, Red Sky July, they kind of got together to form. They were just kind of looking to do a little bit of soul food project on the side, dabbling in music once a week, but it's turned into something a lot more than that. So here for you now is their new release. It's got a Christmassy feel to it, and it is the new single Save Christmas Day for Me. Here they are, Red Sky July.
It's a cool winter sun for days on the run. We try to make money is all that we've done. And as the days get shorter, there's a promise of snow. I can't wait to see you, I can't wait to get home. Anytime or whenever, we may not always be together, but just say Christmas Day for me. Can go wherever, right on. for better. But you say Christmas Day for me. Always got time, at least that's what they say. But this year it seems like it's racing away. And I want the memories when I get old, warm like a fire.
Certainly save Christmas Day for them. Wasn't that a gorgeous tune? So that was, if you want to check it out online and on YouTube, you can see the video, Red Sky July, Save Christmas Day for Me, a brand new Christmas single, and good luck to them with that. Now, all things food and drink here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, and I'm delighted to welcome our very special guest to the show. He is a renowned chef within Brighton and Hove. He's doing all sorts of wonderful and interesting things with food. He hangs out at a shack on Brighton seafront during the summer months, and during the winter months he knows when to cozy up, and you can find him delighting all the regulars at the Windmill with his food. And I would like to warmly welcome Kieran James. How are you, Kieran?
Thank you very much. Fantastic, thank you. I'm in the Christmas spirit. I'm nearly there with presents and so forth. Not quite there, but I think I'm the same as everyone else. You leave things to the last minute, don't you?
The best way to do it, though, because you kind of get all that excitement and adrenaline bubbling away. I don't know. I think it's the way to go myself.
Right. I keep convincing myself every year I'm going to start my shopping early and I'm going to do this, that and everything else. And then, sure enough, it comes to 4 days before, 5 days before Christmas, and I still haven't done.
Well, it's pretty hard whenever you're a chef, you know, and, you know, the whole thing is that you have the shack that has done phenomenally well for you with beach barbecue. And then you sort of pack up all your tools and you start chefing through the autumn, and then this Christmas period at the Windmill. So what I would like to do first, Kieran, is to just, I want to hear more about what you're doing with the shack and beach barbecue, because you are cooking foods in quite a special way. So tell us about that.
Sure. Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, we cook all of our meat, or almost all of our meat, in a method called sous vide. Now, translating that into French translates to under vacuum. But in culinary terms, it's cooking at very precise, it's vacuum packing the meat, I should say, first, and then cooking at a very precise temperature, submerged in water. Now, the benefit of this, I can alter the temperature within 0.1 of a degree to suit what each protein and the texture of each protein that I want to achieve. And this gives me a perfect uniform consistency across the board. So, for example, we sous vide our at the windmill. We sous vide our ribeye beef for our Sunday roast. So we've got it going on right now. And you know, if you come in at 12 o'clock for your roast dinner, or if you come in at 6 o'clock at night for your roast dinner, the consistency will still be exactly the same because we can hold that temperature perfectly. So unlike a traditional method, you go out for a roast dinner, and if you miss it and you sort of get the tail end at sort of 5 or 6 o'clock, sometimes you can be left with a bit of a dry bit of meat.
You can, particularly as we know, whenever you kind of do that all-inclusive buffet thing and the lamps that are over it, and they themselves dried out if the food is sitting around.
Absolutely.
So, and what about the taste and texture then to the meat? How does it alter that?
Well, what it allows us to do is to create every protein has an ideal temperature. So, for example, steak, if you want it medium rare, you'd serve that, the internal temperature, at about 55 degrees. Now, if you take that to, say, 60 degrees, you're then with a much darker, almost like a well-done piece of meat, certainly on the more well-done of medium rare sort of thing. So by having it at these perfect temperatures, we can control that and create exactly the texture and taste that we want to achieve. So with our ribeye steak, we cook for 24 hours at 55 degrees, and that breaks down all the connective tissue, so it melts in your mouth when you eat it. By holding it at that temperature as well, we don't get... We achieve the well-doneness of it... and we don't lose any of the moisture, so we don't break down any of the cell walls, and the moisture doesn't escape from the meat. So that's the other benefits. We end up with a very moist piece of meat.
Ooh, sounds delicious.
I've actually brought a little sample for you to taste. I brought some turkey because we're talking Christmas. I thought appropriate to bring turkey. Now, I don't particularly like turkey. I find it a bit dry and a bit meh, a bit nothing. However, we do things slightly different. We brine the meat. So that means soaking the meat in a water mixture. We use water and salt, and we just use water and salt, and about 6%, 6 grams of salt to 100 milliliters of water. And we soak our turkey in there for 12 hours. Now, if you're doing it at home, it's a great thing to do, but you must have it in the fridge, and you must do it in a controlled temperature environment to keep the meat safe, because we don't want the meat to rot.
Okay, so tell us what we're going to do there again.
Okay, so what we're going to do, so if you've got your crown of turkey, or your whole turkey, but whole turkey is so difficult to put into a bath. I mean, some people use the bath, and to do that in a bath is...
Oh my God, I just washed the dog in the bath.
Perhaps not put the turkey in there. A crown's fantastic to do it with, because you can put that, you can submerge that in a nice bowl or a bucket in your fridge, and with some salt water. So you want about a 6% mix of salt, so 6 grams of salt per 100 ml of water,
okay,
or 60 grams of salt per litre of water. And that will sit there for 12 hours. And what this does, it starts to almost, like, if for want of better words, marinate the meat, if you like. It starts to... it flavours the meat, a lovely salty, slightly salty taste, without over-salting it. And it creates moisture inside the meat. Now, we then take it out of there and we vacuum pack it the way we do it. And you don't need to do this at home. You could just leave it and cook it at a very low temperature. Mm. So what I'm about to give you, would you like to try some now?
Yes, definitely.
So this is, I'm opening the magic box. Now, so this is our turkey. So this has been cooking for about 7 hours. So it was a turkey crown that was cooking for about 7 hours at 69 degrees. So we've made sure we've gone to the pasteurisation temperature, holding out that temperature for that amount of time. So it's perfectly safe to eat.
Mm, so moist.
It is very moist, isn't it? Mm. Unlike turkey that you'd expect in traditional sense. Now, a way of doing this at home, without all these fancy gadgets that we have at the windmill, by going to Robert Dias or wherever, any other homeware store, and spending £10 or probably less than that on a digital probe. So a thermometer that you stick into your meat. Now, this not only makes it safe for you to understand that your thickest part of your meat is fully cooked, but again, we can control the temperature we want for our protein. Now, the Food Standards Agency has got some fantastic resources on there, as does the NHS Choices website, that will give you your time and temperature recommendations, government guidelines of where you should be up to in terms of temperature to make your food safe. Mm-hmm. So by following those with this probe, it will mean that, you know, if you've got a whole turkey in your oven, the bones are going to take long, the legs and things around the bones are going to take longer to cook than, say, the breasts. So they're likely to dry out a lot quicker as well, because there's less meat around the bone. Yeah. So you end up with a multitude of different problems with when you're cooking a whole turkey. By having this probe, you can find out where cooked and what you might need to slice off to keep it going.
Very good. So top tip there, now you've heard that from Kieran James, just to sort of get the meat out lovely and moist and at the right flavours. And we've got, as you can see, a whole lot of ladies outside who are doing a little experiment on taste.
I can't wait to try this.
Sweet,
this is right
savory,
up my street.
You know, eating with plastic forks and posh cutlery, little pieces of cocktail sticks, or again with a fork, eating cheese with a knife or eating cheese with a fork. And what is that doing with the taste buds? So all of that is going on in our studio kitchen.
Fantastic.
And all very nice festive bits and pieces there as well. And I don't know if you've ever held your nose to eat, Kieran, if that is, if you've noticed a difference.
We do
that?
All sorts of things. I'm very much into our science when it comes to eating and cooking, and we do try all sorts of things in the kitchen for experiments. And we try to, you know, having certainly holding your nose when you're eating, or even drinking wine is a fantastic thing to try and tell the difference. Blindfolded, holding your nose, mm-hmm. to try and tell the difference between a red and a white wine, even, is an interesting experiment.
Yeah.
It really messes with your senses when you cut out your smell or your sight.
Well, we have some Santa hats, you've probably noticed there as well. In the kitchen, I hope, ladies, you're wearing the hats. And we want to see plenty of photos being tweeted here on Radio Reverb. So that could be one, isn't it? Pull the Santa hat down over your eyes and see how that affects your taste test. Now, have you actually been up to the British Museum of Food? The pop-up museum.
No, we haven't had a chance to go up
Definitely
there yet.
Definitely worth your while. Five wonderful installations that take you through how your food goes through the body. They've got beautiful butterflies from South America showing you how the pollination works. And they're flying around your head in
wonderful.
This beautiful tropical area. And then the Choca Fonica, which I went up to on Thursday, which was amazing. You went into these sound booths and you had to taste while you listened to all these sounds and decide whether it was sweeter or more savoury. So all very interesting, well worth a visit, and it's only up until February. They're hoping to make it more permanent, but it's worth certainly for you as well being.
And whereabouts is that?
It is Cathedral Street, just by Borough Market. You walk through the market by London Bridge. So there you go, super saver ticket for £20. It's a fiver into the museum. What a great day out!
And guess what? If you bring your super saver ticket into the windmill, you get 2-for-1 on your dinner.
No way!
Yep.
At the moment, okay, so if you have a super saver ticket, go into the windmill, Upper
show
North
it,
Street.
That's right, and show your ticket, and you get 2-for-1 on your food.
How fantastic. Okay, you've heard that here on the Food and Drink Show on Radio Reverb, and do let them know that you heard it whenever you go in as well. Well done. Now, Kieran, have you another couple of tips that you can share with our listeners to kind of take the frazzle medazzle out of Christmas?
Yeah, look, it's the worst time of the year for firing up emotions, isn't it? Everyone's in the same room, and I think to try and make it as easy as you can is really important. So I would try and get everything done the night before, or even a couple of days before. There's certain things that you can do a couple of days before. Certainly the day before, you can peel your carrots, you can boil your potatoes and part roast them.
Now, can I ask you on that? I know you've got that look from me, Kieran, but when you do that, the thing is, how do you stop your potatoes going black before you put them into roast? You know, if you boil them and then you leave them sit, they can go a bit off colour.
They can. The best thing to do, and what we do, is we will boil them up straight away, take them out of the water just before they start crumbling. You don't want to take them too far. I love, again, with the experiments we've done, we've taken them right to the edge, and the texture inside of them is absolutely beautiful, but they are very, very difficult to keep together. They crumble and fall apart. So particularly if you're dealing with big, several kilos of them, it's a nightmare to do. So take them, so just before they start breaking down, take them out of the, drain your water out of them, and then lay them on a tray or on the board on the side, and let them steam dry. All the steam will come off them, and that'll take sort of 20 minutes, half an hour to start to steam dry. At that point, they're not going to go black. Then start roasting them off. Chuck them in the oven with some oil at the way you would normally do your roast potatoes, but not quite as hot. So do it at, say, 160, 180, and put them in there for half an hour. And that will coat them in the oil, and that will stop them from having the blackness. Particularly, I mean, over time they will become, they will go black, but certainly if you're doing this the day before, you'll be absolutely fine. The next day, have a lazy morning, have a bit of breakfast, light breakfast on Christmas Day, I should add.
Yeah. Sausages. Yeah.
And then bang them in the oven, high temperature, 180 to 200, another half an hour. The perfect crispy roast potatoes. Job done. No stress.
And what I like as well too is that you can have a little tipple while you're preparing all that the night before. Get everybody helping in the kitchen as well, and sort of make it a little Christmassy.
Now
party.
I have issues with this. My kitchen is my domain, and my mother-in-law came down for Christmas a couple of years ago. Bless her, she's a lovely lady. She likes a few glasses of brandy on a Christmas morning. And there was a turkey that I'd had, and I'd brined it, and I'd made this turkey as special as it could be. The process went for about 3 or 4 days of me rubbing it and doing all sorts of great things to this turkey.
Sarah McClellan dances with her.
Right,
by
okay.
The way. Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting one.
It is, try that one a little.
My mother-in-law apparently always did the stuffing inside the turkey, and it was her job to do it. So we decided to, reluctantly I might add, I decided to let her stuff the turkey with stuffing. Walked away from it and let her do it. She'd had about 4 or 5 glasses of brandy, too many, I think. She's jammed so much stuffing inside this turkey. When it's gone into the oven, I didn't check it, I should have. When it's gone in the oven, of course, the stuffing's expanded, the turkey exploded.
In the oven?
In the oven.
Oh, my God.
I say exploded, it didn't actually explode, but it went, and therefore opened up, and it was as dry as old boots. I was mortified, absolutely broken on Christmas Day. One of the worst Christmases.
Oh, you could just give everybody a little spoon and shovel it out.
Yeah,
the oven
it was.
And, you know,
it was,
drink loads of Prosecco and they wouldn't have noticed.
Yeah, so I'm not a big fan of having everyone in the kitchen helping. I think too many cooks and all that. There's a lot of truth in that.
So that could be a top tip, is sort of lock yourself away and not have too many people in the kitchen.
But another thing as well, just be safe with your meats. You know, just be sensible with it. At Christmas is a very popular time for food poisoning, and there's some nasties that you can get out of cross contamination between raw poultry particularly and vegetables or other foods, so and ready to eat foods in particular. So if you're preparing your raw turkey or your raw turkey crown on in the vicinity of your food that's just come out, your ham or whatever it is you're putting on your breakfast table. There is a good chance that you're going to make someone poorly, and particularly if you've got people with lower immune systems coming for be it age or health, you could really make someone very, very poorly. So it's very important that you just double check and make sure you're anti-back spraying, cleaning properly when you are handling raw poultry, in particular.
Around your surfaces and washing your hands and not using the same knives and all of that. Well, that's a good tip, because the last thing we need, there's plenty of bugs going around at Christmas time. We don't need to create any just through food. No. Now, thinking about celebrating and having fun, and what's going on at the windmill that we can all share in?
It's non-stop. And actually, I was worried I wasn't going to get here in time today. We've just been absolutely smashed down there today. And we've still got some place available. We're serving our Christmas-themed roasts through till about 8 o'clock tonight. We've got parties coming in every day now. It's fantastic. We still have spaces. If you're finding it's difficult to find anywhere to go on a Christmas party, we still have some space available. We've got a special Christmas three-course menu with tapas choices as well on there. So,
I like the idea of tapas choices, because if you're doing shopping and things like that as well and you want to come in and have a lunch, so you can have tapas sort of from lunchtime onwards?
We'd like you to pre-book it, especially, and it's groups of six, so it's more of a share, a group. So if you don't want to sit down for a full meal, if you're with your friends after you've been shopping, and we're getting lots of groups of men and ladies that are coming in after their shopping trips.
Oh, I like
great.
That's a nice thing
to
do.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Good idea to maybe book a little table so that you can have your tapas.
Absolutely. Give us a call and book us in, and our phone number I can give later in the show to book in. But more importantly than that, we're open on Christmas Day. We're putting a six-course meal on Christmas Day. And it works out incredibly good value, because you don't need to go and do that dreaded £250 shop that you end up throwing most of it in the bin. You know, all the stuff that the leftover turkey. You can only so many days you can have turkey curry, turkey pie, isn't there, for after Christmas.
A good turkey sandwich, though, is always good.
There's only so many you can eat, isn't there? But we are open on Christmas Day, and we do have some spaces available for that as well. And all the menu are on our website, which is www.beachbbq.co.uk, and we have all our party menus on there.
Fantastic. Well, I know that your food goes down a storm during the summer whenever it is on the beach in the shack, and I'm quite sure it is all going down delicious at the Windmill as well. Don't forget that you heard it here as well, that if you have a Super Saver or your train ticket, go in and you'll get 2 for 1 at the Windmill, which is Upper North Street. Kieran, we wish you a very Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for joining us and giving us a taste of your delicious turkey. And something that you may be aware of is that the good old song, We Wish You a Merry Christmas, was travelling singers used to go around and they would sing for their supper. So the whole thing is, when they'd get to Merry Christmas, the whole idea was that you'd bring them out some figgy pudding and share it. We've got figgy pudding here made by Sarah McClelland herself, which is there to taste. We've done something a little bit different because we want you to taste it with ham. So we've rebaked it flat. And it's really crunchy and delicious. Wow. But of course, the whole thing is, if people were being a bit grouchy and weren't going to feed you, the singers wouldn't go away and they would just sing louder and louder and louder. Mm. So we want you to join us singing loudly, Kieran, okay? We wish you a Merry Christmas here on Radio Reverb. Thank you so much. Wish you a Merry Christmas. And here on the Food and Drink Show, we wish you a very Merry Christmas as well. You are listening to myself, Karen Morton, and just join me in the studio now is Sarah McClelland.
Hello, everyone. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. And if you're seeing some of the photographs going up on Facebook and Twitter, you will see that she's not wearing a red hat, but she's wearing a black Santa hat, which is bar humbug.
Indeed. But I'm feeling very Christmassy with the amount of tasty, delicious things that we've gotten in studio today. I'm very excited.
And there's lots of tasty things going on. As you know, Kieran there was sharing some of the turkey. And what's always lovely after having a little bit of turkey is going for something sweet. Before we talk, Sarah, I must just say that as it's Christmas, we've got a very special gift for our listeners, but you have to win it. It is a competition. So if you're ready and pens handy, this is a great prize. It comes from Russell Hobbs and it's worth quite a penny. So you've got to guess. So during the lovely holiday season, there's nothing better when all the stressful time is having a gorgeous cup of coffee. And let's face it, we are a coffee nation. And we love the flavours. And this is what the show is all about. Nothing better than getting the right flavour with our coffee. And the aroma, meddling along with all the turkey that's cooking in the oven. Just gorgeous. Well, we're going to offer you a coffee experience, which is just going to be gorgeous. Thankfully, Russell Hobbs now have this new Purity collection, which delivers the perfect cuppa. It has a coffee maker and a kettle with built-in Brita technology to purify water and brew the cleanest, clearest and best tasting tea and coffee. A lot of watery things going on here on the show, isn't there? So this year, Russell Hobbs is looking to make every coffee lover's Christmas extra special. Oh, that deserves a little jingle, jingle, Woo-hoo! Jingle. and we're offering you the chance to win a Russell Hobbs Purity Coffee Bundle. And I said that without making a mistake. Which includes a Purity coffee maker with a reusable Brita filter, two lovely coffee cups,
woo,
and a selection of coffee. How about that? Now, it's worth a good sum of money. It is a very special Christmas present. But what we want to know is, so you're ready? Okay, so we want you to tweet or text or put up on Facebook, contact us by email if you like here on Radio Reverb. How much is the Russell Hobbs Purity Coffee Bundle worth? Is it worth £50? That's A. B, £100 or C, £75? So which answer do you think is right? Let us know and you could be the proud owner of this wonderful Russell Hobbs Purity Coffee Bundle. Mugs, everything going in there. Is it A, £50? Is it B, £100? Or is it C, £75? So there you go. We look forward to getting your answers and to having it winner to that wonderful competition. Now, what goes well with coffee is, of course, chocolate. Sarah, I'm just going Indeed. To put up a little bit in the background here, some of the music, as I sent you off thinking about the Chocophonica exhibition at the British Food Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted you to do a little bit of a tasting because there's nothing that's more sensual, really, is there, than listening to music and getting the right music with the chocolate.
Absolutely.
Was there a difference in the taste? So let me just get up a little bit of the music. Mm-hmm. Okay. Kieran's still with us here in the studio too. And we might give him some tips on the right music to play. Really? Kieran.
I'm a big chocolate lover. Oh. I don't eat very much of it.
Well, the first track here that we've got running, which is something a little bit different. See if you recognise what it is. Hey, a little bit of sexual healing going on there with some brass bands. So tell me, what was the eating chocolate experience to that?
I'm doing it right now, folks.
Good.
So, obviously the song, Sexual Healing, come on, it's got to be good. So, in a little bit of research about all this, chocolate stuck in my face, guys. I'm sorry. Anything with kind of low bass notes, bit of brass in there, it's supposed to bring out a lot sweeter notes in the chocolate. And it certainly does. I mean, soulful music, it's definitely going to pair well with chocolate. Oh. Absolutely.
Give Kieran a wee
I
taste
want
of the
to try
chocolate.
This. I'm not convinced at this at all.
Get
right.
In.
Okay. Right.
Kieran.
And of course, listeners at home, with your own chocolate, all right? Pop a little bit in your mouth while we've got the brass band and sexual healing. You all doing it now together? Uh-huh.
It is really good chocolate, too.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
Okay. And it's Brighton-based chocolate as well.
Yeah, so I've brought along Montezuma's chocolate. I brought a couple of different ones, a plain chocolate. We've got a few different ones to try at the end. I think it might be a little bit of a sensory overload. Oh. We're doing plain chocolate for all the music stuff, I think, which makes more sense.
Okay. Right. So I'm eating away here with the chocolate. Now,
What should we be tasting with this sexual healing brass band music?
Well, I mean, this would go together with a lot of really, really nice, soulful, like South American cooking as well. Even that on top of chocolate, you know.
Nice.
I was reading into a lot of stuff. Things like if you're serving up a banquet of French food, you shouldn't be playing Italian music. You should try and stick with those kind of themes. And I mean, myself in the restaurant, we play a variety of music. And you do get sometimes people going, oh, will you turn that down? It's a big, heavy rock song. And you do see people really reacting if the music's really soulful. And, you know, in the afternoons, we play really jazzy stuff. And, you know, the comments of the food is running in and going well. So there must be something, right?
I totally agree with that. It's like light as well, too, and colour. And we can do this at home, is to actually get the music right for the food that you're serving. And it's all about the experience that will make everything all the more enjoyable. Now, I'm going to change a little song here. So you keep talking away and telling us a little bit more about this chocolate, Sarah.
Yeah, so Montezuma, they started in Brighton in a little store. It's heading, I'm really bad geography-wise, but it's just off, what's that mean?
Looking for support here, guys.
Come on, guys.
Duke Street.
There we go.
Yay.
I just.
Hello.
Yay.
Brighton Stereo Chocolate.
So yeah, they started in 2000, and it was Helen and Simon Pattinson, and they have built it up. I think they've got about 4 stores now, kind of in and around the UK, but still same with the same ethics. Do a lot of vegan chocolates where it's just really, really, really. Really high coconuts, not that much milk in it and stuff. And then they really play about with flavour combinations. So two of the ones that I picked up very quickly on the way here was white chocolate and ginger and chilli, and a dark chocolate, with lime and sea salt.
Mm.
So those I didn't want to try with music because I thought they were just intense enough as it was.
Okay.
So the milk chocolate just for the music. So this next song on... is something a little bit heavier.
But it's amazing. You know, you just feel you want to have the lights off.
It's kind of like a real ambient sort of thing, but there is, I sleep to this kind of music, but there's enough interest there, but it's not too much.
Okay.
So it's a band, If These Trees Could Talk, and the song's called The First Fire. It's got something that's just a little bit heavier. And they're saying things like really, really loud background noise that can suppress salt and sweet, things like if you're on a busy high street. But I thought that this kind of had enough of a plane of just, not the same, but like there wasn't anything to shock you too much in it, you know? So I thought that this was quite an interesting track to kind of vary from, completely different from the last one, definitely.
Okay, so get ready, pop some chocolate in your mouth, listeners. That is just great, everybody. And we're just going to turn the volume up now, okay, and just see what the whole experience is like for you. If These Trees Could Talk. I actually feel the chocolate tastes smoother.
Me too. I was about to say the same thing.
No, see for me, it's the issue I have with it now. I have a massive sensory overload in my ears, and I don't have that beautiful sensory expectation that I would from a milk chocolate. So that definitely is taking away from me.
That took away from you.
Definitely took away from me on that occasion. Yeah.
I thought there was a milk, like I could taste
more
the milky chocolate.
I did
it.
Too. Isn't that interesting? And I wonder, male female taste buds, are they different as well? That would
be possibly. Yeah.
I felt that was definitely smoother. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Now we have another song. Oh, this is exciting. Our listeners, do tweet us and let us know as well here at Radio Reverb if you're trying this out while we're playing. Okay, so Sarah, what's the next one we have?
So if you're online with me, it should be Ludovico Einaudi, Drop Variation. So this was actually used in This Is England. Not this specific song. Elements, I think, is the one that was used in the show and repeated throughout. And that's how. I mean, he's an amazing classical performer, but he kind of has really vamped up and modernized classic music to add a lot of techie stuff in. If you want to take my naivety of it, but yeah. It's a little bit more interesting. Again, there's a lot of low notes in there, but it's quite fast paced, but also the background is, but then there's some really nice piano over the top, and I just think it's a really, really interesting piece of music, and again, I would sleep to this. I'm always sleeping, guys, I'm sorry. But yeah, I mean, this for me is quite an interesting piece of music too. So
okay,
yeah, I thought we could say that.
Chocolate ready, pop it in the
mouth. I'm always ready for chocolate.
And we're going to give you a little blast of 16 seconds. I don't know why I feel 16, but 16 seconds is
a good number.
Start munching. Difference in the taste test?
Good. I think for me that was a little more bitter, and it was a bit more chocolatey.
Good. Sorry, I think there was a hand there coming out of our festive table. Were you in agreement there? Charlie's saying, yeah, that's good. Okay, we've got a few more people thinking the same thing.
These guys are just munching away in the back. They've got the best job ever.
But it's a real taste experiment, because we are going to be posting up the findings from their sweet and sour.
Absolutely.
And all the rest
this
out
was
there.
Far more pleasurable for me than the earlier song.
So if you hear exactly what's happening now, there's like that, just that little repetitive bit of piano. That's just like kind of that.
It's really interesting you got bitterness, because I got a much more sweetness out of that one. So here it is. Maybe there is some difference between a male and a female.
Maybe.
I thought it was
or a chef's and
yeah.
Maybe that's what it is.
It's still quite sweet, but I actually felt it was cooler rather than a warm.
Absolutely.
The studio's a little bit chillier, but there was just a slight subtle difference hearing.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I was reading about this, and there was two sound clips played, and both of Running Water. And I was saying that our brains are actually clever enough to be able to recognise which water was hot and which one was cold. Mm. And I picked the right one. And you could hear the difference between hot water being poured. And I suppose, you recognise the sound when you're pouring a cup of tea or whatever,
And
you really can pick it up.
I tried doing that, but I had to run to the toilet halfway through.
In the studio with me, Karen Morton, is Sarah McClelland from The Food and Drink Show. And we have got Kieran James, chef from Beach Barbecue, who is currently chefing at the Windmill. Now, we have one everybody knows, and you can join in and sing with this one. This was the last one that you had a little taste test with. And we've got here, we've got sherry port in a posh glass with glass, and it's so delicate with gold leaf. And then a good old reliable plastic cup. And this is the whole thing,
Any vessel, guys, sometimes any vessel.
Well, any vessel, yes, but look.
Wonderful.
I mean, taste that now. A little bit. Isn't it going to be much nicer?
I have a real thing about drinking from glass. I prefer it. It's got to be glass. And it's got to be thin as well.
Yeah. Oh, look how thin that is. If you sneeze, you're going to break
that. That's right, you're going to break it. And that's the way it should be.
It's great. So we've got Mariah Carey.
Okay.
So pop the chocolate in your mouth, everybody, and see if this is stringing for you. Can dance while you're eating chocolate to this one.
A lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. Don't care about the presents. Only need the Christmas tree.
Like walking past it.
I just want to call my own mother.
So, you're chatting, you're eating chocolate. I just want to dance. I don't know what I feel about that one with the chocolate, actually.
I will apologise to half of you for this song, and the other half of you will be thanking me. Because, you know, it's one of those love to hate it kind of songs, you know? And for me, it's nostalgia, you know? When you're a kid and you go to the Christmas school disco, and this is one of the ones played, and, you know, you're dancing with all your friends, and... You know, it's great. You know, you can't not smile with it. You can't not.
It's great. It's a good, happy tune. So what are we meant to be sensing with chocolate on this one, Sarah?
Well, I think for me, there's a lot of jingles going on. So that is a lot of things that I was reading about was if you hear things like crisp or crunch or little kind of hi-hat kind of noises... Exactly like that, Karen. You're gonna have more of a texture experience. A thing with Pringles, actually, they did it, and they had thousands of people testing Pringles, but played the noise of themselves crunching back into their own ears, and it said that they felt that it was fresher. They could see that the sound was crunchier, you know. Yeah. And I think for me, there was more of a texture experience with this one.
I think you're right, than sweet or savoury, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah. Okay, do you think?
Yeah, I'm agreeing with that one.
Yeah. You're still not dancing, Kieran, yet.
Not yet. A bit more of that. I'm going to start drinking that port. Who knows what might happen?
I'm just going to take a little picture here. Okay, you can dance along to this one. Great. Well, listen, guys, thank you so much. Kieran, James, thank you for joining us, giving us some top tips.
You're very welcome.
For eating and cooking in the kitchen. Going solo, flying solo, you recommend when you're cooking.
Yeah, take and be very, very safe. I can't say that enough. Make sure your turkey is at the correct temperature. Don't hurt yourselves.
We won't hurt ourselves. That's great. Well, thank you very much for that top tip. And Sarah, that was really interesting. We're going to ask some of our studio guests to give us a little idea of some of the explosions that have been going on that they've been tasting for us as well. So that would be really good. And thank you, listeners. I hope you've been enjoying the taste test in your own home as well. And don't forget that we do have this wonderful competition going for Russell Hobbs coffee maker with water purifier, mugs and the whole thing. But what's the value of it? Is it £100? Is it £75? Or is it £50? Get tweeting. Okay, Kieran, thank you so much. We'll enjoy another little burst of Christmas song.
Time or whenever, we may not always be together, but just say Christmas Day for me. You can go wherever, ride all around the world, drive for better, but just say Christmas Day for me. Always got time. That's what they say. This year it seems like it's racing away. I want the memories when I get old, warm like a fire when this world gets cold. And any time or whatever, we may not always be together, but just say
such a lovely track. I'm loving it already. Another little taste there of Red Sky July with Save Christmas Day for Me, and that is their Christmas single, and it's a little bit of a first here on Radio Reverb. So I have in the studio with me the lovely Kathy Caton and of course Sarah McClelland, and they've been tasting all sorts of things out there, and it is for science now. It is for science, girls.
Of course.
That's it, exactly.
We've been sacrificing ourselves in the name of forwarding understanding.
Eating with plastic knives and forks, eating with beautiful cutlery, drinking out of cocktail glass,
fingers, actually eating with fingers has come out quite high near the top for me, I have to say.
So, you've had hams, you've had figgy pudding, you've got onions and you've got fondues. And of course, fondues are all back in vogue since Kirsty did her Let's Make Christmas Things all together. Now all the shops have got fondue sets. We've got a fondue set here. So what have you discovered sitting outside and eating? What has been interesting for you?
Well, I've taken a real plunge with the figgy pudding, with the plum pudding, and trying it with all sorts of things on the table, including a bit of ham. Because I'm being a particularly flexitarian at the moment, which was quite amazing actually. But I suppose it's not so much of a leap from having a chutney with a meat or a cheese or something like that. Really nice. I've been trying to pay attention to the textures of things as well. And there's this smorgasbord of delights that Karen has whipped out of her bag, like Mary Poppins earlier. Absolutely amazing.
Now, the other thing as well, Kathy, you have brought down is that you've made some extra Christmassy Brighton gin.
Do you know, they look the part, but I've left them in the fridge, actually, because there's so much deliciousness going on out here.
Tell us what you've done, just mixing with the flavours.
Yeah, so I've got two things going on. One is a gingerbread gin, which is more ginger than anything else, actually. It's just stuffed full of stuff, so crystallized ginger, fresh ginger, a bit of cinnamon, couple of cloves, bit of sugar chucked in there as well, and shake that around for 3 or 4 days. So you've still got time to cobble together one of those if you'd like to for Christmas or New Year. And it's gin all the way. Oh, in fact, one has just come in.
Look at the service, guys.
In quite a massive dose that's come in. So it's and it's fairly potent and pokey, actually. Oh, what do you think?
That's wonderful. That's really great, actually.
Oh, my granny would love this. Here, Kieran, sir, you've got to try this.
Come and try some Brighton gin gingerbread.
He's almost out the door and he's come back for Brighton gin.
Christmas in a glass. Taste
we have Brighton gin in the window.
Good. Hooray! Good man. Thank you very much indeed.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Isn't that great?
It's gin.
Exactly.
That's exactly it.
It deserves it. It deserves it. Yeah, that is so good. Oh, that is so good. Isn't it good?
Proper winter.
Yeah.
So it's it's probably the time that I was tasting it this morning. I was like, oh, that's a bit like Benelin. But that's what happens when you taste gin at 8 a.m. Don't do it.
It's good. Yes, yeah, so good. Sarah, what on our table out there now? We've got tasting things.
I find us talking about the glassware. That was a real big thing for me. So we had some Prosecco and tried it in our nifty plastic cups and then tried it in a really nice champagne flute. And definitely, I think even the temperature of the glass made a massive difference to the taste and also made the bubbles seem a little bit smoother as well. And I found that was definitely much better than from the plastic.
And we've got another little bit of gin, have we, going on here?
Yeah, this is a really, really straightforward cranberry one. And I was thinking about, because you go out, you buy all your things to make your lunch with, and people are always like, I've got these cranberries left, I can't face any more cranberry sauce, what am I going to do? Shove them in gin. So grab your half-drunk bottle of Brighton gin, whack in as many cranberries as you can be forced to fit through the neck of it, give them either shove them in the freezer or give them a little stab with a fork first, being very careful. And shove them in your bottle. And this has just gone only just for 2 days. And
the colour of it
is amazing.
That's beautiful.
Which we'll pass that around. Yeah. It doesn't necessarily taste too much, but it looks really, really pretty. Kieran, do you want to give that a slurp?
Because it is red, listeners. It's lovely. It's like
beautiful.
A pinky red, which is gorgeous. It's just like Santa's coat in a glass.
Absolutely. And if you use a little dollop of that in the bottom of a champagne flute, whack some Prosecco over the top. That will get the party started, as I believe the young people say.
This is beautiful, actually.
Incredibly smooth. And I suppose the sweetness from that would give it without overpowering it as well.
You see, I don't like oversweet.
I've got a lot of time for that. We've actually got some mulled Brighton gin in the urchin.
Okay.
Apple juice, cinnamon, whole bottle of gin. Come in and get some of that.
It's a bit of red vermouth and a bit of cherry brandy in there as well.
It is delicious. I was on the plonk last night after work, so it was great.
Listen, guys, our hour on the Food and Drink Show.
That's a quick hour.
It's been very festive. We're going to post some of our experiments. experiment experiments up just to let you know what's been going on. Oodles of food and drink. Kieran, thank you so much for popping down to have a chat with me on the windmill. Sarah, thank you. I don't think it was harsh. It wasn't eating all that chocolate through the month of December before our taste.
Had a little cry at one point, but I think it was all right.
To all the crew who were tasting, working hard outside, and to Kathy, Kate as well, thank you for being on production and bringing all the gin down. It's been fantastic. And for me, Karen Morton, Sarah McClelland, and all the team, we wish you a very happy Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Wonderful, wonderful festive season through January and everything. Let's keep it going.
Exactly.
We are now going to just finish with slowing the pace down a little bit. And it's from Moya Brennan, who was the voice of the planet, and a little Christmas number from her. So thank you all very much, and Merry Christmas to all.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.